My braid is flashing bird.
No quarter. I am going to be uncomfortable and all over you from start to finish.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Outside of the Box. And today we've decided to go back across the pond, as I love to do, and do an episode about 2024 for Bristol Bot Builders. So I have Joe and Craig with me here, and we're going to just talk about what they've got going on for this year.
Thanks for having us again. Yeah, nice to see you again.
Yes, and welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, Craig, because you haven't been on before.
Thank you. Yeah, fun new experiences.
Exactly. Well, you know, last time we chatted, it definitely seemed like you were very busy and there was a lot going on. I'm sure that that's no different for 2024. Now, before we dive into all of that, you know, I just kind of want to dig more into going back to how both of you, you know, really got involved, you know, your backgrounds and everything. So for people that don't know, they can get a little bit more of a sense of that.
Craig, you go first. You got into this way earlier than me.
I was one of those kids that grew up with Robot Wars in the UK, you know, and never grew out of it, sadly. So kind of 2014, I started building beta weights and kind of just went from there. You know, we've now got Bristol Bot Builders, we've got the Flamingo, we've got all that other stuff that goes on around the periphery of all that. So yeah, it's fun. It's good times.
But yeah, we formed essentially, I think I don't want to ramble too much, but we kind of met at some quite serious events. The main events going on in the UK were kind of national. Everyone brings like 4 robots each and they're really, really intense. And we went to the pub afterwards and like, well, I was doing robot events at my university and that was more about eating pizza and drinking beer than actually fighting the robots. And I was telling Craig over at Nando's, which is a very British experience at the time, about that. And I think
I don't think we've been since.
To Nando's since. I think we decided that was the one Nando's. But yeah, we were with a few other people. Gareth, who is sort of our third guy, there's 3 of us who kind of do this together. And we were like, why can't we get a little bit merry, have a few pints and fight robots? And that's kind of what spurred on forming BBB originally. We do a lot of different types of events now, but I think our core background and one of the most important meetings we've had around 2024 was meeting with a brewery last week in the brewery, sampling some of their finer beverages. But we've got a lot of events this year in pubs and breweries, which is our favorite place to fight robots. So
it's the best place to be. Like I'm sure you've probably spoken to enough roboteers, Christine, to know that like a lot of people take this very seriously, and we are not those people. we were, you know, at this super serious event, and loads of people were having loads of fun, and you know, they get fun out of taking it really seriously, and more power to them. We were bored, and we wanted to have some fun.
We'd been knocked out so early as well. We'd all lost like an hour into the event, so we had like 5 hours of just watching other people win and us be there with broken robots. So I guess we're putting some fun into it. Exactly. And our background, we're both in education. Craig teaches in a school and I work in outreach for university, and a lot of our focus with BBB is bringing new people into the hobby, which is why you're doing this podcast and chatting to different groups, is to show people there's loads of local groups. But one of the reasons we do these sort of more relaxed events is we try and make them really friendly for newcomers, and we do lots of guides and recommended parts. We run a shop and all these sort of things to try and find a way to get more people who like go from being a fan of seeing it on TV to be able to build their own and come bring it to our event. And if not our event, we've got a big list of the UK and EU events, and we're pushing really hard. Like there's a new club in Rome at the moment that's just started, like the first Italian event started like 3 months ago, and I've just been pushing the hell out. So we're kind of like trying to be this sort of database for Europe for where to go fight robots. So shout out to the Roman guys at the moment.
Well, that's really awesome. I mean, I think any time that you can try and like get the word out there and expand. It's and every time I hear about a new like country or a new area getting involved in combat robotics, it's very exciting because the more people we can get doing it, the better. Now I think the you know, the fun aspect that you brought up is so important because it's, you know, everybody has their own reason for doing combat robotics. For me personally, I like to win, but if I'm not having fun, then I don't really see the point. I think that that aspect of it is so critical, especially to getting new folks in the sport, because if your expectation is to win and that doesn't happen, then I think people get disappointed and feel like they've gotten nothing out of it.
Yeah, particularly like when you say when you're remembering that this is people's hobby rather than their job, they're doing this in their spare time, they put tens and hundreds of hours into these robots, and if they're going to have a bad day with them after, you know. So but yeah, we are doing some serious events too. We're kind of the big thing for us in the UK that we're very focused on is beetle weights, which I'm sure as a beetle weight builder you're very aware of. With this, they're pretty similar to the American ones, but we host twice a year, we host like a 50 robot event in a big convention center with a big crowd, and we do a live stream and we try to be Norwalk without any of the budget, but we have commentators and an interview booth. Craig likes to get really in on interviews, and that's happening in 2 weeks time. So we're like right now, just before this, deep in a spreadsheet with Craig getting all the roboteers ready. But the cool thing about that that's really exciting is as well as UK people, we get people from Europe. So we've got some Dutch and Germans and French like to come, but this time some Croatians. Again, another Croatia, not a big country, not a huge population, but there's a university there that have got a really good beetle scene at the moment. And one of the lecturers and his wife are each bringing a robot and their son as well. So we've got like a Croatian family coming to compete in a couple of weeks, which is just awesome. So that's the kind of stuff we love to see.
Yeah, that's really outstanding. Now, what are some of the like events that you have upcoming, like within the next couple of months at this point, so that, you know, just in case I do have a lot of UK viewers, which I'm really happy about. So if any of them are watching, I want them to kind of know what to expect.
Hey fam, hello. You can find all of our events on bbb.gd/calendar. This month, like we say, in 2 weeks, we've got the BBB Beetle Brawl in Bristol. Funnily enough, most of our events are in Bristol. Next month, we're doing an outweigh thing in what's essentially a strange little art place. I don't know how to describe it. It's a bizarre little place. April, currently unannounced, but if you go on the calendar, you can see it is there. We're doing our first featherweight event of the year. So we run ants, beetles, and featherweights across the year. And our April featherweight event is one not to be missed if you can make it down to a cider farm in Somerset. It's a delightful time.
Yes, the home of nuts too, and other magical robots and farm-based equipment is where we like to fight our featherweights in April, and camp over as well. So we've done that a couple of years in a row now, and we will be returning to the cider farm. So if it's not a brewery, it will be a cider farm. It will suffice.
Yeah, and then beyond that, it's all kind of in flux at the moment. We've got a potential beetleweight thing in May at potentially, I'm saying potentially because it is booked, but it's not announced. potentially a brewery in Bristol with potentially a brand new beetleweight arena that is potentially not announced yet.
Yes, we potentially spent like the last few months building a potential arena. It's been very potentially exciting.
It's been an intense couple of months. Like, even though this is the off season, there's been a lot going on. We haven't even looked at fixing Flamingo yet. So
we've got a heavyweight that we need to give some love to as well. When we go fight at other events as well. So the thing is, we do about 10 events a year, rotating between ant, beetle, and feather. But because the UK is not that big, a lot of the events that are far away for us are like 1 or 2 hours drive, and we're whinging about that. But then we do want to go fight robots in other places. So we've got to try and squeeze in some time to maintain our robots and go invited our friends events as well. And a lot of our friends are starting their first ever events this year. So people who live in like little towns on the coast are like doing their first Beatle event, and that's really exciting. So this is the year where like there's more Beatle arenas than ever, because before it was like everyone borrows one arena, and it got so mad for this poor guy who maintains it, Dave, who was on your round table. But this year there's sort of two or three more Beatle arenas, and so there's about two or three Beatle events a month, but maybe two a month is probably the average. There's probably 20 odd events this year in Beatles, which is kind of double what last year was. So the UK is kind of going mad for Beatles, which is cool because we like Beatles. So
best weight class.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with that. Why do you think that is there? Because I would say, you know, obviously like indoor walk, that, you know, there's different weight classes and Beatles are certainly a big part of that. But I think overall here in the States, there's probably a lot more ant weight competitions, at least as far as what I know of, than there is Beatle weights. So what is it specifically you think about Beatles in the UK that makes that weight class so popular?
I think it's something to do with the fact we don't run US ants over here. We've got the UK ants, which are your fairy weights. So
our ants are this big. They're tiny. They're like more like toys than robots, in the sense that you can put them in your pocket, essentially. And the ant scene's been so strong for so long, right? So not to downplay the ant scene, there's probably two or three ant events a month now in the UK, but it's the growth of Beatles that we're seeing is why we're talking about it. It's like that's really encouraging.
And I think as well, there's been like kind of a downturn in featherweights in the UK over the last couple of years, really sadly. There's only one arena in the UK that it can now host full combat featherweights, which is really, really sad. And some people with some arenas sat need to get on that and do some things.
I think I said this at the round table too, because you had one of those owners of said arenas not using said arena. But yeah, so feathers are struggling a little bit. We only do sportsmen, and there's only one full combat arena, and it's in quite a part of the country is a little bit difficult for a lot of people to get to. So we'd love to see more uptake in full combat feathers. That's the bit we're struggling with. But I think, like Craig says, like all of those people who build those feathers are actually moving to Beatle, and all the amps are moving up to Beatle. So it's kind of the it's all
convergence.
Convergence, that's the word. Yeah.
There we go. Teacher words.
That's good. Because I was saying most of the EOs you've been interviewing from, so event organizers you've been interviewing from the American groups, sort of their bread and butter has been these £1 amp weights, isn't it, really? Like that seems to be the strong scene, because like I imagine, because the arenas are already quite big for though, like our arena for these things is like, you know, we can get it in the boot of a tiny two-door car, so because that's like we live in a city and we can just shove it in the boot, whereas they've got to actually, you know, I feel like your ant arena is as big as your Beatle arena is, pretty much. So logistically.
Yeah, maybe a little bit smaller in some cases, but generally speaking, there is a size difference, but at the same time, you often see the ant weights here as like mini bots for the Beatle weights. So they're kind of used to fighting in that similar arena.
That makes sense. But it was cool to see. So you're chatting to a few groups where they're growing their Beatle stuff as well, and they have everyone seems to have the arenas for it, which is really good. It's just seeing what the local like community wants, because I imagine with America everything's so spread out that it's like you want to focus on people in your state too and what they want to build, right? Like rather than your country, because our country is like the size of Texas, so.
Right, that's another thing that I think has always been an interesting anomaly for me, is because, you know, over there in the UK, you talk about driving 1 to 2 hours for an event. And like over here, because of the scope of things, I'm like 1 to 2 hours for an event. That's great. Like I would love to only drive 1 to 2 hours for an event.
Interesting position we're in, because like a lot of people now are like, there are too many events going on, like, because we're all so used to like going to as many events as we can, because, you know, like you say, we're a relatively small island, all things considered. And now people are like, oh, maybe I'm actually gonna have to like just pick some events. It's really, really interesting, like the kind of uptake in events we've got this year. 2024 is mad, UK, just across the board. It's going to be so exciting. I'm really excited for this year.
Now, I imagine that even though there's a large number of events, it seems like you still have a lot of participation at all of these. So it doesn't seem to like limit and, you know, maybe only a few people show up. Like, people still show up to all of these events, it sounds like.
Yeah, our beta ones in particular, we're having to sadly turn away a lot of, we can only fit 50 people. We only have we do a 1 day event, otherwise we'd collapse on the floor, I think. And we can only fit 50 teams in that day and give them all enough fights. So, but yeah, I think, yeah, I don't think our ant events are kind of a bit more chill. We tend to only to do 20 to 30 people, but that's because there's so many local groups for ants, because like I say, you can make an arena for a couple of hundred quid for ants over here. So it's really accessible in that sense. So there's lots of more local groups picking up for the Amway stuff, whereas the Beatles stuff is sort of mostly treated more of a sort of a national thing most of the time. And people travel a lot further for it. So it fills up really, really quick. But yeah, no, I don't think anyone's struggling. There's been more groups popping up, like Sheffield's got a really strong scene now, and Liverpool, and none of them are struggling to fill slots, you know, even if they're like 1 week apart and they're, you know, people are still going to more.
Basically every tournament has been at least pretty much full for the last, well, years.
And I was looking at when we started our first Beatle event in 2018, we put 24 slots and we only managed to get 20 robots on the day. And it was like that ever since, like 2019, since we've never had that issue. It's sort of just been this like kind of crazy waiting list thing where it was sort of first come, first serve. And then now we've moved to a lottery system, which I believe Norwalk has moved to too. So I don't want to say they're taking influence from us, but I think lottery systems are much fairer. I know they've been a bit controversial over there, but for us, we found not being the first person to press the button, like a race to refresh the page is nice. Like, it's taken some stress off us at least. And I'm sure hopefully off people signing up. So
it was getting to the point where people were writing scripts, wasn't it, to like get in like the millisecond that the sign up's opened.
Yeah, you'd hit refresh and then it'd be like five people signed up within 1 second of it opening. And like, how have you filled all this in so quick? And then literally like coded it's so good. So yeah, we're like, okay,
lottery systems.
We need to put a stop to this. It's not fair. We can't have a, you know, if you can code, you can go to our event. That's not what this is about. So
well, it's a fair point, because, you know, I recognize that I'm fortunately in a position with most things that, like, if I need to sign up for something or do something in a moment, I can do that pretty easily. But for other people, like, they don't necessarily have jobs that they can all of a sudden drop whatever they're doing in that moment and sign up for a robot competition, or that, you know, other commitments and things like that. And it kind of makes it not fair to those that don't have the ability to do that. So
yeah, it's such a difficult balance as well. We're always trying to find like the sweet spot of like a time window where people are home from work, but they've not gone to bed, but they're like at a computer, and you can never get it perfect, but we're sort of around like, now we're sort of doing 7 PM to 8 PM. You get a nice hour window to casually go fill in your details. And then we roll the dice and give out 50 slots. And that seems
to be... We do our panic bit with the spreadsheets and make sure everyone gets an email.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to talk about that I forgot to mention is the event in 2 weeks' time is that we host an inter-university league. So we've got 10 different universities, some with multiple entries, competing against each other to be the best university in the UK at robot fighting. So they're like, they're representing their sort of city. And that's a really fun aspect. And as I work at Bristol University, so I'm a little bit like biased towards my teams, but then they're actually quite lazy sometimes. So I need to call out my students to get their robots.
You've got on it this year though.
They've finished it. We have a thing called proof of mobility over here, which is like, you have to prove your robot can drive 2 weeks before the event so that we know you're going to turn up with a finished robot, not a what we call like a vapor bot, like you turn up with a pile of parts and you're not ready to compete. So the students always wait until like, the deadline's tomorrow night, and you can see like people are like scurrying away frantically, just starting to build their robots. And you're like, guys, come on, we've given you 2 months. Can you? but you know, to be fair to them, they've all been in exams, and then now they're frantically building their robots ready for 2 weeks' time. So it's a busy time for them, but I think it's a really cool thing that we get to build these relationships with all these societies at the unis, and I think that's actually how a lot of people get into Norwalk, is they get some university funding, and like Norwalk gives some grants and stuff. We're trying to do a similar thing. We've kind of fostered a lot of relationships with certain unis, and trying to, and that helps perpetuate more and more builders, because they kind of, when they come for their second year, they introduce more first year students to this thing, and then you kind of get this lovely cycle of students who want to fight robots as well as members of the public. So
yeah, some of them stick around afterwards as well.
Yeah exactly. We've got some of my old students are now like, you know, out in industry, but then still fighting robots, and that's what we want.
I really like that proof of mobility idea, because I feel like, you know, that's something that will reduce a lot of the last minute drops and, like, you know, things of people just not passing safety and you know, stuff like that. And I say that as somebody who has gone to a competition and literally finished the robot and finally got it working the morning of said competition. So.
Oh no, it's so stressful, right? It's like kind of a bit of forced time management on people. Like, we know this is everyone's hobby and that you're doing this in your spare time, but it's just like, taking some of that stress and moving it a little bit earlier kind of should hopefully help is the idea. But it is that big thing, right? That you've been given a slot in this competition and someone else has missed out on a slot. So if you don't finish your robot on the day, it's quite unfair on that person who didn't get to compete, is our kind of logic behind it. We want to give everyone that equal opportunity. So if you don't pass the proof of ability, we take your slot away and we give it to one of the reserves. So we've got a big queue of reserve people who want to compete, and they're patiently waiting for Sunday night for us to say, yeah, this person didn't make it, you can have a slot now. And so, yeah, I've been chatting to a few, like, Florida organizers who saw this proof of mobility thing, and they're like, hey, that's a pretty cool idea. We might try that over here too. But we're always looking to the American groups for ideas too. So I don't know. I just want to say we got to the lottery thing before Norwalk. That's important.
Yes, it's important to get that out there.
Yeah, let that be on the record. Yeah.
I'm really curious, because I know last time, and it got, you know, brought up about the, I'm trying to, my brain is like not working right now to remember all the details, but like doing the super silly event that you had mentioned the last time. Is that something that you plan on doing for 2024 at all? Because that seemed really intriguing to me.
Oh, do you mean with the sort of junk robots?
Yes. Stuff? Yes.
Oh, we haven't got a plan for it yet, actually, but I've seen that the Australians are starting to do scrap, they're calling it Scrap Heap Challenge or whatever, and so I'm really excited to see more groups explore it. I think we just we've had so much demand for people wanting to fight real robots that we've stopped doing so many silly robots, but maybe we'll have to bring it back, because I think it's like a really good newcomer thing to be able to bring a pile of, you know, junk from home and some components and a bit of hot glue, and throwing something together is a good skill set. So we've been talking about maybe ideas of, you do a beetle build on the first day and then you fight it on the second day, like a 9-hour. So slightly less silly, but slightly more like, maybe you come away with a robot you could use at other events, sort of thing. But it's a lot of work, and we're already so stressed running the events that helping people build robots on the day as well is quite an extra bit of stress, isn't it?
It's a lot, isn't it? Yeah, it comes a lot. Even if you come out with some of those things that people come out with are wonderful. You know, we've had skulls that lay eggs. We've had, you know, bits of Battenberg being flown across the arena. Botsbots were a real time. It was a good time.
Yeah. Retiring them for now, I think, but we are already missing them in the sense of the creativity people come up with them. But yeah, I've seen a few other groups potentially picking them up, because again, like, you don't really need an arena even, because they're not really dangerous. They're just sort of, they mostly flap about, so you can kind of do them on a table if you like. So I'm hoping we see a bit more of that kind of junky Hebocon style thing comes up. That'd be good.
Yeah.
I hope we see more brewery stuff in general. I hear like some of the American organizers are actually getting into this now. They're actually getting on the whole having fun and brewery stuff. So shout out to Craig Danby, who is, I believe, working on making something happen over in Raleigh right now.
Yeah, we have to shout out Craig, because he was the original Bristol bot builder, technically, wasn't he? In the sense of like,
he was the original Bristol bot builder, Craig.
before he moved to America, he was a Bristolian. So we feel like, you know, he's come over here and seen our breweries recently, right? He came to see you, Craig, and now he's inspired to bring the brew scene to the American bots. I think this is good. Also, I want to shout out in Chicago, Robot Riot. So have you come across that, Christine? That's one that's really similar to BodgeBot. So he does sort of crazy junk hot glue robots with like rubber ducks and stuff. But two, he typically does it in kind of arcades and breweries. So I know obviously it's Chicago, it's probably not that local for you, but like big shout out to Adrian. He's done lots of artwork for us as well before. And he is our brother in arms for Bodge for sure.
It is very local for me. In fact, I'm going to Chicago in about a week and a half. So yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, maybe give him a poke. Well, I'll give him a poke and say, where are your events, Adrian? We need more Chicago robot riots, I think he calls it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The more local events, really anywhere, the better. Just to give people opportunities and things like that. No, that's great. The other thing I'm curious about, because I don't know if you do that as much as say some of the leagues do in America, but aside from the actual events, do you ever do any like just workshops? You know, trying to give people like teach them how to build, or is that something primarily that you're doing with universities and stuff like that?
So we work a lot with the local hack space. Like I'm a member of, and I think they call Maker Spaces a lot in America as well. And that's been a really good kind of local resource I've been getting people to. So I've met a few roboteers there to help show them how to solder or how to fix some stuff. And same, like you said, the universities, we do a lot of mentoring with the universities to sort of help get them going for the first time if they're new to this stuff. But mainly because we run this shop, and we kind of have loads of guides on our website, we're kind of constantly offering online help to the kind of UK and often Europe or American scene. Like, because we make a lot of parts that are in the Beatles and Ants in particular. We're constant customer support, but also just trying to get people into buildings. So like, yeah, our website has become a bit of a hotbed for like a guide of how to get started building. So we do as much of that online as we do in person, I think, or if not more. So yeah,
got all the guides online, and we've got like the forum. We run the forum. We've got our Facebook group. And then a lot of our videos as well that you have kind of edited together and put online, Joe, people find really useful for getting started as well. I keep pointing at the snappy one to people.
Yeah. We've done some like history of how a robot came together, and they've done pretty well online for us. We're not like YouTubers as such. Like we're not like Seth where we post all the time, but we, over the pandemic in particular, we did lots of sort of behind the bot sort of video things, and they've done really good. So yeah, we're spreading our wings in every direction to try and help get people building, which has been really good. Yeah.
Well, that's terrific. I'm excited. I mean, I'm not even there, and I'm excited to, you know, hopefully see some of the streams and things like that and follow what you are doing, because I think that it's, you know, it's terrific. Obviously, I would love to get over there at some point, but that's going to take a little bit more effort. It's not a 2-hour plane ride, so.
Sadly not.
not unless they invent some kind of like super high speed planes between now and then, but.
Isn't Concorde meant to be coming back in some form? Wasn't someone promising that recently?
Oh, man.
There you go. You could get a Concorde over.
Yeah. Well, cool. Is there anything else anybody should know that's, you know, either looking to get into building with Bristol Bot Builders, or even just attending events for people that don't want to build but just really love watching robots fight?
Just jump on our website, because we are aggressively updating it with the UK and Europe events. So even if you're nowhere near us in Bristol, if you're somewhere in Europe and you want to see robot fighting, there is actually definitely an event in your country, if not in your city. So go look at our calendar, go look at our guides, and get building. And if you don't want to build, come watch the fights, come help out at the events. I think we've been saying with the other Yeah, we always want more volunteers. We have a crew of like 20 people for our Beal event to make it run slick. So we're always looking, like every event organizer wants more volunteers. And I think some of the American groups were saying the same thing. That's it. Even more important than building robots is supporting the events, because everyone volunteers to do it. It's not a job. So help people out. Let's make this thing happen. Yeah.
Definitely. Volunteering is really critical. I mean, like really just about any league that I know of needs people helping out to do things. I mean, even as big as NHRL is, if they didn't have people volunteering to help with, you know, with certain things, you know, it would make things a lot harder on them. So it's just, yeah, if you love robot combat, believe it or not, some of these different things you can volunteer for, people will show you, people will teach you, you can learn and, you know, just be of a help to the community. So definitely keep following follow Bristol Bot Builders. You know, I as I always say, keep supporting combat robotics wherever you are. Like, subscribe, all of those things. Follow the show, and we will see everyone next time.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.